If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 1, and we're looking at that first 8 verses. While you're looking at that, you know, it is so interesting how very often things are done differently. For instance, down in Beaver Creek, you know, you always stand up when you're reading scriptures. And you always sit down when you're praying. Notice that here you stand up when you're praying and sit down. Think, there's one in the Bible that's very interesting, similar, I think, backwards. Have you ever seen that one? I should have looked it up to get it. I just thought of what we were talking about it. Do you remember about Jesus was preaching and teaching? You tell about the mountain, the hill and the mountain. But there's another time, it says, where Jesus sat in a boat on the lake. And he sat there the whole time and preached. And the whole multitude was standing in the beach. Things are different, aren't they? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I'm going to ask you one more thing. I've been kind of not really laughing about it, but would it bother me, would it bother you if I would take my coat off? It's a little warmer in here, and especially higher here, and I noticed even the elders didn't have their coats, and so I'm going to ask, is it okay for me to take down my coat? Thank you. Back in California, we never had air conditioning in the church that I was there. And in Sunday night preaching, almost would always take my coat off. Beloved congregation, it is Mark. Verse chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Beloved congregation, this is God's word. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the contrary of Judea were going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and his diet was locusts and wild honey. And he was preaching and saying, after one is coming whom I mightier than I, and I am not fit to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but you will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Beloved congregation, this evening we are beginning a series on the Gospel of Mark. This gospel was written by John Mark, who was often mentioned in the scriptures. John Mark was related to Barnabas, and he traveled with Barnabas and Paul on the first missionary journey. But he left them at Pamphylia, and Mark was the cause of that missionary team breaking up. Mark is mentioned by Paul in Colossians 4, verse 10, quote, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin, Mark. Mark was probably the first gospel to be written. But we do know for sure that Mark was Peter's interpreter. The early church fathers say that the gospel of Mark was written at Rome for it. Was written for Romans, that is, for the Gentiles. This gospel is the briefest of the gospels, and Mark contains very few things that are found only in Mark. Over against Caesar, Mark presented Jesus as the true king and the savior king to whom all men should turn in humble faith. Now, Mark's willingness to surround him to Jesus depends upon how he views Jesus. In other words, faith always implies doctrine. Finally, Mark does not begin with the birth of Jesus, but with the appearance of John the Baptist as the messenger sent before the Messiah, the Savior, King Jesus. And Mark describes Jesus who reigns everything, including the realm of diseases, demons, and death. Mark's aim was that men may accept this Jesus Christ, this conquering King as their Savior and as their Lord. This evening, we are looking at this text in three heads. The function of the King's messenger, secondly, the faithfulness of the King's messenger, and the focus of the King's messenger. Well, let's keep going. Here's the first one. The function of the King's messenger, and you'll find it mostly in verses 1 through 3. The scriptures tell us that the King's messenger was foretold by the prophets. Now, this is what Malachi said in chapter 3, verse 1. And it tells us, quote, "Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." The function of John the Baptist is set forth in verses 2 and 3. But especially in Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5, this way, quote, "A voice is calling, clear the way of the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." At the very outset of the New Testament, the gospel is tied in with the Old Testament. And all that becomes Mark wanted to be the Romans to know that the gospel was not something completely unknown, and that was not something different, nor was it something even new, brand new. In fact, the gospel is that to which all of the Old Testament points. It points in the fulfillment, first of all, of the Old Testament types, but also the Old Testament ceremonies, and especially the Old Testament prophecies also. Hence, Mark makes the connection naturally, and it has its effect on the Gentile mind. Furthermore, Scripture tells us that the King's messenger was to tell of the coming of that one great king. Now, few roads there were needed in those days, and so few roads were built. The roads that they did have were more like footpaths that merely followed the contour of the land, curving around the hills and through the valleys as though the land dictated. Beloved, even when a physical king visited, paths were straightened, hills were lowered, places were filled in, all hindrances or obstacles were removed so that the road would provide a smooth, easy journey, a smooth, straight highway. That is, the king's highway was constructed for the king's arrival. The messenger's function or task was viewed in such terms. That messenger was to be sent before the king arrived. He was entrusted with the task of spreading the word of the king's arrival and making preparation for the king's coming. Finally, the scriptures tell us that the king's messenger was foretold to be fulfilled by John. Now, the prophecy was indicated by the angel in Zacharias in Luke 1, verse 17, quote, "It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Furthermore, this was stated by Jesus to his disciples in Mark 9, verses 11 through 13, quote, "They asked him, saying, why is it that the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he said to them, Elijah does first come and restore all things. And yet, how is it written of the Son of Man that he will suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has indeed come, and they did to him whatever they wished, just as it is written of him. But proclaiming the necessity of removing the entrances of obstacles of sin and unbelief, John did indeed fulfill the function of that forerunner." At that point, it is clearly stated in this text, that is in verse 4, quote, "John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." Now, John is proclaiming the coming not only of an early king, but the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords, who was smooth to visit and to teach Israel and to set up a new kind of a kingdom. Oh, beloved, the Lord Jesus came. And although there were a few that received him, Israel as a whole did not believe. And they did not repent, and so they did not prepare his way. But the coming prophesied in Malachi was only partially fulfilled, and, quote, "the great and terrible days of the Lord is still to come." And the church now of beloved of Jesus Christ is still to be his messenger. Just as Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:15, quote, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." And that means that the message is now Church of Jesus Christ, and that the church is still, quote, "making ready the way of the Lord and making his path straight." Well, that's point one. Here's two. Point two is the faithfulness of the king's messenger. We're looking here now in verses 4 and 6. The faithfulness of the king's messenger was recorded. Now, this text tells us that the king's messenger faithfully preached. This is exactly what the text said in verse 4. Quote, "John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." John's topic was preparation to meet the great king, that is, to meet the great Messiah. The means of the preparation was repentance and remission of sins. Again, this presupposes, there are two words, and this has been brand new from my stroke, and trying to use it, I thought this enough times. I thought it would be easy, but it wasn't. Now, what would I just say? It is presupposes. Again, this presupposes the proclamation of sin and judgment. That message also presupposes proclamation of the awareness of mercy and the awareness of grace. You must know that that message was not and is not what the world wants to hear. That was John's message. This is the church's message. This must be your individual message. Now, Israel seemed ready for the message, and messianic expectation was running high concerning the prophecy of the years of Daniel. So John faithfully preached the message. God's law has been broken. Hence, we are sinners and forgiveness is assured because Jesus came, just as John said he would. And in time, Jesus died and he rose again for our justification. And so mercy and forgiveness of sin is still preached today. More. This text tells us that the king's messenger faithfully baptized in verses 4 and in verse 8. Now, that baptism was also not something new. The word baptism was used in the Septuagint to speak of ceremonial washing, and even the proselytes were baptized. Baptism was an outward sign that their repentance was real, and their sins were really washed away, just as Matthew 3 verse 6 says, that many in Judea, quote, were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. Thus, John warned and prepared Israel for the Messiah's coming. Oh, beloved, Jesus is coming. Are you truly prepared for it? Have the obstacles of sin and disbelief been removed from your life? Have the sins of formalism and complacency and legalism been dealt with in your own life? Keep going. The faithfulness of the king's messenger now was rewarded. There was an overwhelming response, just as verse 5 says again, quote, and all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Oh, beloved, you must truly know that God's word does not return void, just as Isaiah 55 says. I was just going to use one verse here. But I love Isaiah. If you've got your Bible, I would like to add a little bit more about it here, if you've got it, okay? Isaiah 55, I'm going to go back, instead of just one verse, that's verse 11. But I want to read, let us start here, maybe here in verse 8 through 11. If you've got the Bible there, Isaiah 55, 8, 9, 10, and then also verse 11, which is really saying the main point here. The words here just brings it together into immediate, a marvelous thing of, listen, quote in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow came down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, now that comes to what we're all leading to. So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. What more of those things? God tells us that His word is true. It's a glorious thing. The word is set forth. Now, many heard of that message of John, and some believed that message, and some repented. What God requires of us, as He did of John, as He does of all His servants, is faithfulness. John had proclaimed to Israel to get ready. The King is coming in a short time. Jesus, the Messiah. He lived a perfect life. He taught, He suffered, and He died. And He did all that to set up a kingdom of all who would believe. He now calls us in our various callings, not merely to faithfully preach and baptize, but to faithfully serve Jesus as the King. Rewards faithfulness with blessings here and with glory hereafter. Well, that's the second point. Here's the third. And here's the focus of the King's messenger. Now we're looking again in verses 7 and 8. The focus of the messenger was away from himself. Now this is exactly what text says in verse 7. And he was preaching and saying, after me, one is coming who is mightier than I. And I am not fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. Many Israelites became impressed with their own talents and their own accomplishments, with their own importance. But John did not draw attention to himself. He showed in true humility the vast difference that he saw and felt between himself and the one he described in verse 7 as being mightier than I, and who was coming. John said that he was not even worthy to be the lowest slave in a household. More, the ancient Mideastern mindset was very clear. The disciples would do most things for the master, except the most menial actions. The slave would do everything, even the most menial task. You see, this was the Roman concept of relation of slave and true master. The Baptist said that he was not even worthy enough to perform that lowest kind of service for the Messiah. Oh, beloved, that is the focus of your ministry. What is the focus of your life, and what is your message to the world? Many Christians become impressed with their own talents and with their own accomplishments, with their importance and the work they're doing. How? We need to recognize Jesus' glory, His majesty, His greatness, and our own proper position in relation to all that He is. You see, beloved, the focus of the messenger was away from His work. His was only the voice of one crying in the wilderness. More, John the Baptist realized that he was only preparatory. In other words, he was only the herald, and he was lower than the low slave. Now, beloved, no matter how important his work was, humanly speaking, he was only a tool for the Messiah. In fact, John's work was, in that final analysis, that which was rather unimportant. His work was only the sign, using the symbol, using water, just as this text says in verse 8, I baptized you with water. Once again, beloved, what is your focus? Is it yourself, Is it your work? Is it your accomplishments? Is it your failures? Is it your problems? Our focus should always be away from ourselves and our work, whether accomplishments or of failures. We should be focused upon Jesus Christ, that King. Finally, the real focus of the King's messenger was Jesus Christ and His great work. Beloved, Jesus was and He is the mightier one. John directed all Judah to Jesus as the King, as the Christ, and to the cleansing that He would accomplish as the Lamb of God, whose sacrifice of Himself would be sufficient to take away the sins of all. And He was coming to set up His glorious kingdom. And John called Israel to prepare to be ready for the Messiah and the work that He would do. Oh, beloved, His promise was and is, as verse 8 says, quote, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Beloved, you must know, since Jesus came as that glorious King, He now baptizes every true believer with the Holy Spirit. Many churches today believe that this verse means that later many believers must receive a second experience, that is, receiving the Holy Spirit. Oh, beloved, the experience of believing in Jesus means to only receive the Holy Spirit at the same time. Every truly born Christian has also received the Holy Spirit, as we've said, at that time. Oh, beloved, that is a truly marvelous knowing of being a newborn child of God, and knowing that you are also filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we said a minute and tied together that, secondly, once again, asking, what is the focus now of your life? What is the focus of the Bible's message? And what is the focus of your witness? That was the third point. Often we have a very short conclusion to tie it together. A little bit larger, a larger conclusion now. John came as the messenger of the King, as the messenger of the Lord, proclaiming coming and telling Judah to get ready for Him. Jesus came. And there were only a precious few that were really ready for Him. We have the record of that coming. And what He did, that is, He came. He lived a perfect life. He died an awesome death. He rose again and He ascended into heaven. How much more important is it knowing that He is coming again? And that He must be prepared for that second coming. That, beloved, is our blessed hope. Are you truly prepared for that coming? Have the obstacles of sin and unbelief been removed from your life through the blood of Jesus? Are you faithfully serving the King and witnessing to that truth? As the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 43, verses 10 through 12, quote, "You are my witnesses," declares, "and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me, there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I, even I am the Lord, and there is no Savior beside me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God." Oh, beloved, how much more important it is that we remove all the obstacles of disbelief and sin, such as formalism, complacency, self-centeredness, and so on in our lives, and that we must be ready for His coming. Let's ask His forgiveness for our lack of preparation and faithful service, and let's rejoice in the assurance that Jesus is coming again. In the light of that reality, determine that by God's grace, we will serve faithfully as His servants and witnesses. Amen. Let's pray. Father, how we thank You that Jesus Christ is truly the King. Truly, John was a messenger. But how we thank You that now there is a messenger who is a true believer. Every believer is to be a messenger, to be part of the church, knowing that as we are working together, it is a church, in a sense, is to become the messenger of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father. We look forward also to that second coming of Jesus. Wash us and cleanse us in every way that we may be prepared gloriously, looking with great hope for that coming of Jesus some soon. We pray in His name. Amen.